Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 21st of December, Anno Domini 2013. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to the Christmas edition of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues.
We should also say happy solstice to our druid friends.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
I know some druids, so...
Today's the official first day of winter.
A few druids and a couple of Wiccans.
Yep. Today's the shortest day of the year. So starting tomorrow...
Days get longer by every day, we gain 2 minutes of daylight.
Yep.
Is what I think...
I'm ready for it, too, by the way.
Oh, dude, I hate it. You go to work... You know, a lot of folks were just saying, oh, I get up in the morning, go to work in the dark, I come home, it's dark... And, yeah, it turns everybody into, there was a phrase for it, where you just want to, just come home and do nothing.
Yeah, sad. Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, people don't like the dark. They want the sun. They actually make light bulbs for that.
Yeah, a lot of people get very sick because they don't. Yep.
And the irony is this is the Earth's closest approach to the sun in its annual orbit. Just happens to take place in the middle of winter for us because the tilt is more than the few million miles closer we are to the sun.
Right. All right. Back to computery stuff. Facebook unveiled a donate now button on Monday to make it much easier for nonprofits to take contributions. A nice side effect for its business, the button will collect credit card numbers and other billing info for Facebook that could aid its e-commerce and gaming initiatives. 19 nonprofit launch partners will start displaying the Donate Now button at the tops of their Facebook pages and the bottom of their news feed posts. These include DonorsChoose.org, Boys and Girls Clubs of America, World Wildlife Fund, UNICEF, Red Cross, and Kiva. After some more testing, Facebook will open the feature to additional nonprofits. Thanks to the Donate Now button, instead of forcing users off Facebook and away from their friends, these organizations can now accept donations in a pop-up window right on Facebook. Users can choose how much they want to give and either enter payment details or use ones already stored with Facebook. The pop-up could boost conversion rates and get more funds to needy projects. The Donate Now button also gives people an easy way to share the call for donations with friends, helping philanthropy go viral. Facebook is not charging a fee to process credit card donations and is instead paying that fee itself, so 100% of donations go to the nonprofits. That's a good thing. Sadly, some people believe that corporations are all evil and there is no way they could actually be staffed by decent human beings that want to help nonprofits. But Facebook seems genuinely determined to help these causes, even if there's no denying that the button could also aid its business. It's part of a trend for nonprofit businesses launching philanthropy initiatives that could earn them money in the long run. Perhaps Facebook should make it easier to delete your credit card information after donating. Right now, you can go to your payment account settings and remove your credit cards. Adding a link there or a delete button to the donate flow itself would make it easier, but would also make it tougher to donate to other nonprofits in the future. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Facebook has a Donate Now button, but they collect the credit card numbers. And your choices are, no problem, I love the convenience, and everyone else is doing it. Small problem, this will make me think twice about donating through Facebook. Huge problem, who does Facebook think they are? And I never donate anything to anybody because I'm a jerk. So far... We have 24 votes. 88% of you think this is a huge problem. And, of course, three of you are jerks. I love the idea of making it easy to donate to people because I think we all don't donate enough. But
you often see PayPal donate buttons too on websites.
Yeah, but giving your information to Facebook is not something I ever intend to do.
We're just trying to help.
Ever. Anyway, I know you will have more to say on this subject. I know that. So if you check out our forum, go down the far right-hand column of the on the main Soundbites page, you'll see fascinating stuff. Under that is the forum. Forums. And under those, the second set is poll discussion. And if you look at that, the first one at the top of that list is 21 December 2013. How do you feel about Facebook collecting your credit card info? When you donate to a charity. And so far, we've got three people who have had something to say. Please, for Pete's sake, keep it clean. And of course, give us a call about it. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
So have you tried them yet?
Have I tried what? No. I waited till we were on the air. Before we get to the phones, and I know we have people waiting, but you know what? There are things that are...
Yeah, this is a Christmas show, and we got certain things to do along with giveaways.
Dave, who clearly has far, far too much time on his hands, has a Christmas tradition, which I personally approve of completely, whereby he makes rum balls every year. And it's 100 proof?
120 proof.
120 proof, right?
Antigua rum.
Pardon me, I didn't mean to take that... So that makes it 60% alcohol by volume. That's what 120 proof.
But it all burns off in the
200 proof is pure ethyl.
Wait a minute, no, none of this gets baked though.
Yeah, it doesn't bake.
No, there's no baking in rum balls.
Yeah.
No, it's refrigeration.
Yeah.
So that locks it in.
Oh yeah. You should have smelt my refrigerator.
So here we are. At the start of another season, and we have the rum balls, and I think that it behooves us all to try one.
Do you have your rum ball recipe online? I know a lot of people call and ask about it.
I can get it to them. But
they're very soft.
I'm driving later.
That's why you're only having one.
No.
He's had too many already.
You've had a few already. No wonder you're so happy today. And I'm going to try one myself. Here we are.
The trouble is we can't talk anymore. So, that's Dave, okay. You have to talk a bit.
So, no problem. No, it was.
Wow. Yes.
Let's say I'm very liberal with it. But that's the fun of it. You know, this is the one time a year. Matter of fact, the crew that I'm with now at the place I'm working didn't realize. Well, yeah, I shouldn't say that. One of my friends from work said, Dave, so you're going to bake again this year? I just turned to him and go, hell yeah. So he's going around, Dave, hell yeah. So, you know, I did up pizzelles, and I've done fudge, chocolate chewies, and the rum balls.
I will say I'm so sorry we can't share these with everybody.
Well, I'm glad you guys approve.
Set up another round, boys. Let's go to the phones.
Is it one shot per ball?
Let's go to the phones where while we can still talk. Our first caller is our friend Carl from Pottstown, PA. Hi, Carl. How are things down there?
Good. How are you doing?
Peachy. How's the weather?
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that the Earth is closest to the sun at this time of the year, because not many people know that, even though it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I always forget whether that's perihelion or aphelion. I think aphelion is closest and perihelion is farthest. Yeah, but that's 22-degree
tilt. Question.
Yeah.
I have a very large PDF file. It's about 4.4 gigabytes.
Holy cow.
And
4.4
it's gigabytes? It's a bunch of newsletters that I keep getting every month, and I keep adding to them every month and every month, and I've been doing it for years, so it's grown to the size. And it's on my hard drive, and I've tried to transfer it to a flash drive. Unfortunately, even though the flash drive has plenty of room, it says the file is too large for the destination file system.
Yes.
there a way to get around that?
The flash drive is probably formatted in FAT32 file system, which has a 4 gigabyte limit. You can try reformatting it NTFS. Do flash drives like NTFS?
They don't like it, but it can be done. Well, no, it shouldn't be a huge...
It's not easy.
I suppose it could be done.
Burn it to a DVD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a single layer DVD is 4 gigs, so if it's bigger than that, you'll need a double layer.
What is it? 4.
Which is 8 gig.
4.4 gig.
Or 4.4.
Yeah, 4.1, 4.2 maybe on a single layer DVD. But yeah, try formatting the flash drive as fat as NTFS, and then what is the file size? 16 exabytes, right?
Yeah, you should be able to easily override the size of the flash drive with the size of the file.
We also ran into an interesting other limit. You can only have 99 items at the root of the volume.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to copy somebody's music library, which happened to be just loose MP3 files, and we kept getting a disk full error.
Yeah.
Well, the disk wasn't full. The directory was full.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you create a single folder...
And then it works.
You can put an infinite number of files in it, but at the root, you can only have 99 files. But you know what, Carl? It might be time, and I'm just suggesting this as a possibility, to break that PDF up.
Maybe break it up into decades?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not years.
Well, the reason I have it is there's one file. So I could bring it up in the Adobe Acrobat Reader, and I could use the search function of the reader to search the entire file.
Right. No, I absolutely get it. I understand why you're doing it the way you're doing it. I'm just telling you, you should be able to move it to an external hard drive,
right,
but
now,
not a flash drive.
I mean, you can get external...
Well, this is the same issue. The hard drive will have to be NTFS.
Right.
Most of them are these days.
Then you can do it. I mean, you can get a 1 terabyte laptop drive size...
I got a 4 gig file. I got a 4 gig file. I'm going to use a 1,000 gig drive for it.
Well, you store a lot of other stuff there, too. That's not his only document, you know, along with pictures and any other Word documents and all that type of stuff. Hey, never hurts to have it in some other place because it's usually, oh, shoot, I wanted to get that or I needed that and I deleted it and I can't get it back.
The other thing you can do also is on the Windows desktop and on the Mac desktop, you can search inside of files. So they don't have to be one file that you open to search in. You can search across the contents of files right on the desktop. It's not quite as fast, but it can be done.
Okay, thanks for mentioning that.
Sure. Yeah. Then in Windows, you have to pre-index it? You have to turn indexing on or something like that? On the Mac,
it makes it faster if you turn indexing on. If you don't turn indexing on, it researches the file every time. But it still works.
Yeah, the Mac feature is called Spotlight that does that.
Right.
And when you get a new hard drive, it indexes it the first time, and then every time you put a file on, it adds to the index.
Right. Google is clearly not...
You still haven't got the Hangout running?
No, the Hangout is running fine, but my Google document, where I keep the list of who called, is not working well at all. I don't know if there's a problem.
There's this thing called paper and pen.
I know. I kept it in paper and pen for decades, if you remember.
Yes, I do, sir.
All those notebooks.
Yeah.
But now I thought keeping it online would be a little better, but... I see. It's waiting for YouTube. It waits for YouTube forever because you can't get to YouTube.
Oh, that's nice.
One account to rule them all.
Yeah, the problem is you can't get to YouTube from here.
Yeah, true. Right.
So I don't know what happens at that point. It doesn't like it, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Anyway, there you are.
So that'll answer your question, Carl?
Yes, and happy winter solstice.
Thank you, sir.
Same to you.
Have a good one.
May your days get longer.
Ooh. Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
But to go back to that Facebook thing, I do think it's great that they're doing what they're doing, and they're paying the fees.
The processing fee, that's unusual.
Tremendous of them. I got to give them all the kudos in the world, but I don't want to give them my donation, my credit card information.
So we missed.
Really don't.
The solstice is at 1711 UTC, which is 1211 Eastern time, right? So we just missed it. It was 8 minutes ago.
The actual
instant
moment
of the
solstice.
Solstice,
I don't feel any different.
Did you feel the earth move?
Well, now we're moving away from
me.
We're moving away from the sun now.
and as of this moment, the days are getting longer.
Yep.
Oh, one of my friends, very good couple, live here in Greece. You know when we had that earthquake?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was on the phone with her husband, and you know she could feel the house move, and she goes, "Honey, I just experienced it, but you weren't there. You made the earth shake for me."
We have a lot of earthquakes here in this area. We just don't mostly see them.
They're deep.
Well, they're deep and they're very small because we have the second most active fault line in the United States.
Isn't a lot of it buried like on into Pennsylvania, and then we get up and it's just the tail end of it?
Right, and it's also it's also a loose fault, so it slips a little bit really often. So we get, you know, 0.4 magnitudes, 0.2 magnitudes, whereas in California, it's a really tight fault. So it doesn't slip often, but when it does, there's your 3 and 4 and 5 magnitudes.
Does it mean New York City and that's going to break off and become its own state?
It's anything is possible. But yeah, we have the fault. I don't remember exactly what it's called. I'm sure Steve is looking it up, but we do have a fault somewhere. I don't remember quite where. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Hiya, Linda.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I got one comment. What happened to last week's show?
Steve didn't get it because we're having trouble with the FTP
issues. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I thought to myself, maybe there's something wrong with my computer.
No. It's not you. It's us. We'll figure it out. In the meantime,
okay.
Steve,
my question to you is, I live in a townhouse complex, and I'm only visible from the front and the back. I've got very weak Wi-Fi. My laptop, I've got Turbo from Time Warner, but it takes forever for the Wi-Fi to do anything with it. My router is about 4 years old. What do I do?
Are you getting weak signal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know how the thing it shows?
Yeah.
It's like a...
How many bars you're getting?
How many bars? I get it, but it's very weak.
Yeah. There are two things that cause that. One is it could just be a very weak router, and as they get older, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be where it's placed.
Okay, so, right now... It's in my bedroom.
Yeah, I don't... Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't know your house, so that's not going to help me any. Let me tell you what you should look for.
Okay.
In between you and the router, if there's metal, so pipes in the wall, metal bookcase...
The kitchen.
Refrigerator, any of that stuff would be the thing that would cause the signal to drop off. If you have those things, what you want to try to do is just move the router and see if the signal gets better. If it doesn't, then you're going to need a new router.
Okay, right now I'm sitting in my bedroom and my router is about 10 feet away and there's nothing in between it.
All right, and it's still got a weak signal, you need a new router.
Okay, what do you recommend?
Hold on. Well, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with all of us on Soundbites. Hold on. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have Linda from Greece on the line. Linda, you were asking us what we think. Hi, how are you? What we think are good brands of wireless modems. There are a half a dozen that are okay. I really like Cisco. They recently bought Linksys.
And then sold it to Belkin.
And
Belkin is one of the iffy ones that we've run into.
Yeah,
so.
There's been issues with Belkin.
But
yeah.
Cisco does make their own.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one that I like? Starts with a...
Well, there's Netgear and D-Link.
Yeah. Netgear.
The other two big
and
ones.
D-Link.
We sometimes
D-Link.
Have trouble with Netgear.
Yeah, D-Link is
D-Link
very
is
reliable.
Good,
they've been around for
Cisco
a long time.
Is good.
The other question is the technology you'll get. Most of the routers today are N technology. which is the
latest and greatest
current standard. The next standard coming along is AC, and you'll pay a little bit more for AC, but one of its features is something called beaming, so you get much longer range and much higher signal strength.
Okay.
And it will be ready when you get your next computer. Your next will probably have AC wireless in
well,
it.
Well, I just got a computer last October, so I don't think I'm going to be buying a new one.
Right. So okay, for you, an N router would probably be best right now.
Okay.
Again, either Cisco or D-Link.
D-L-I-N-K?
You got it.
Okay. Now, if I go into Best Buy and I tell them I want which one? I don't know. If I say I want Cisco or D-Link, they've got a lot of brands. Which one do I ask for?
Cisco or D-Link.
So there's not more than one. More than one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, there are several. Take a look at the prices, and take a look at the features. Some of them have multiple antennas, which means you're going to get a stronger signal. Some of them hang on the wall. Some of them sit on a desk. So it depends on...
Some of them have multiple wired ports. So if you have several desktop computers, you need to wire them in. You can do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I'm having a heck of a time here. You got time for one more quick question?
Very quick.
Okay, I had iOS 6 on my iPad, and my wireless printer worked fine. Since I've upgraded to iOS 7, they keep saying it's offline.
Are you using AirPrint, or are you using the app from the printer company?
No, I'm using AirPrint. I've been using the same thing. I haven't changed. It's just that I upgraded my iPad to iOS 7. Now, my iTouch, that's fifth generation, works fine on that, but not my iPad. My iPad's an iPad 2.
That should be okay. Basic troubleshooting things you can do on the iPad is to quit all the apps and reboot, just like a computer.
Okay.
Because it is a computer.
That's right.
And that can all often fix problems like that, especially if the printing app, which sort of sits there in the background and you never really know it's there,
uh-huh.
If that's stuck. So double tap the home button to get into the app switcher, and then quit all of the open apps.
I do that every day.
Okay, and then shut down the iPad completely by pressing and holding on the power button until it says slide the power off.
Okay.
And then let it sit for a few minutes before you turn it back on again.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, I apologize for calling so often, but I mean, you know, I still can't get on the forum, Nick, no matter how much I try.
I don't know what to tell you about that, Linda.
Make a new email address at like Gmail and try that one.
Yeah, I
have. It's just those little things I have to figure out. I can't do it.
The CAPTCHA.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas.
You too. Maybe get someone to help you. Have someone come over and sit with you while you do that.
I saw a CAPTCHA system once where you had to do math problems.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. But what we're seeing now, the point of a CAPTCHA, which is those words and letters no one can ever read, is to prove that you're human when you're signing up for account. What we're seeing a lot, and we've got 20,000 people in the Apple Cider forums that have done this, real people are getting paid to post spam.
Right.
Instead of bots anymore. So a real person will sign up for account and can pass the CAPTCHA test and
right.
then post spam for you. So it's the threat model has moved. We put in CAPTCHAs to stop robots, and now real people are doing it, so we need something to stop real people.
Right.
But the bad real people, but we still want the good real people.
Right. And what happened with us was poor Dave was putting hundreds of people daily, and that's not even a joke, hundreds of people daily, robots signing up to our forums, and Dave was rejecting.
We were trying to figure out a way to limit it to U.S. IPs.
Yeah, there's 100 things that don't work, pretty much. So what we did was we put in a CAPTCHA, but instead of putting in the text CAPTCHAs, which robots are starting to be able to figure out now, by the way, what we did was we put in a thing where you have to twist a picture until it's upright. And they are a little odd looking. So what Linda might have to do is get someone to to sit with her while she signs in and have them.
Some of them you can, there's a little speaker you can click on and it'll read it to you.
Not this one because it's pictures.
So
that's where we were. Anyway, our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. On that note, it seems like the ones where they ask you to solve a math problem, have the bots figured out a way around that one, too, the 4 plus 2 equals 6?
The bots haven't really, but okay. More and more real people, it's usually in poor countries where they get paid, say, a penny a post. It is a real person doing it, so they're able to get past the captchas.
Right, gotcha. That makes sense. Well, my problem is I'm in the market for a new computer. I've had an Acer for about 2.5 years now. The biggest thing I struggled with is I have an external hard drive, and I've been trying to free up space. The 500 gig or so has just been all used up. I'm a big video person. I do a lot of YouTube stuff. But it seems like no matter how much I transfer over to that external hard drive, and I don't, you know, I want to also have a copy of it or the original on my computer and then have a backup on my hard drive, I found myself having to get rid of the originals on my computer, bringing them over to the backup hard drive because
you're not enough room.
Yeah. I can't. You need I can't figure out how to reduce the space on my hard drive.
You need a second external hard drive to back up. So you can move files from your internal drive to the external, and those two drives are both for storage, and then a second external drive to back them both up.
Right. Here's the problem with hard drives in general. There are a lot of things that end up on your hard drive. There's all the programs and the operating system and all that stuff. There's all your files that you create, and then there's all the swap space. When you're doing video, there's a lot of swap space.
Swap space?
Yeah. What happens is, unless you've got 16 gig of RAM, video files don't all fit in memory. So what happens is, the operating system is designed such that if you have a bunch of stuff that you're doing and it doesn't all fit in memory at once, the oldest stuff gets swapped out to a special area of the hard drive. And that area can grow. So let's say you've got your operating system open. Let's say you've got 2 gig of RAM, and you've got the operating system open and your word processor. Most of that probably fits in memory. Now you open up a big Excel spreadsheet. Well, now there's not room for everything in memory. So what Windows will do is take, let's say, the word processing stuff, because you haven't touched that in a minute or two, and swap that out to the hard drive, leaving more room for the spreadsheet. Now you switch back to the word processing document, and Windows will swap out part of the spreadsheet to bring in the word processing document. The only way you can fix that is with more RAM.
And that just sort of delays the problem.
Right, but that only delays the problem.
I basically understand what you're saying. I want to make sure we're on the same page. I can't find enough files to free up my hard drive.
It's not the number of files, it's the size of the files. If you look for your swap file, which probably is called PageSys.
And it's invisible.
You'll find that it's ginormous.
Oh, that's what I was. That's what it sounded like you were saying. I do that all the time. I'm multitasking constantly.
Right.
This is all getting shoved into my hard drive.
There's two things you can do. One is the disk cleanup wizard. If you right click on your hard drive, there's a tools option, and that will go through your temp files, your temporary downloads, and let you clean some of that up. And then there's a program I use called Tree Size Free. And they have a companion program that isn't free. But Tree Size Free will scan all of the folders on your hard drive and sort them by how big they are. So it shows you what folder is the biggest, and you can figure out what that is and what you can delete from it.
Yeah, I found a program like that for the PC size.
That is Windows.
Yeah, it's called File Size.
Yep.
And it literally goes through and tells you the biggest files down to the smallest.
The other thing that you may run into is the Windows updates. By default, it keeps all of the updates, so you can uninstall them later, and they can take up a lot of space on your computer as well.
Okay. Okay. You said, did I hear you right, tree size free?
Yep.
Okay, okay. That sounds like exactly what I need. I need something to lay out for me what all the is taking up so much
right.
room.
Where is all
well,
the space
taken?
Well,
but now
taken?
Once you find that, be very careful what you delete.
I yeah, know.
If, so
I,
if,
I know.
If your biggest folder says system, leave it alone.
Yeah,
right.
But let me suggest what's to reiterate what Steve suggested earlier. You really want two external hard drives, so you have two copies of everything you have.
Okay.
Or a bigger internal hard drive.
Well, both yeah. is not a bad
yeah,
idea.
A bigger internal and a bigger external.
Right, and then you have two copies. Now you don't have to keep everything on your computer as well, which frees up that space for what you're working on now. Think of your computer as your desk and those two hard drives, external hard drives, is your file cabinets. You don't keep everything piled on your desk. You put it in the file cabinet so you have room to work.
Right.
We don't.
Yes, we do.
That's a thought. And then when you do that, when you go to buy your new computer, look for a bigger hard drive.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good luck. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Raven from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Raven. What's up?
Oh, nothing. Yourselves?
Nothing. Thanks for calling.
It's about your latest poll.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's a big mistake. I agree. Because since they now have donations, they're going to end up putting more and more ads all over Facebook.
Yep.
And I am not happy about it one bit, because I do tons of stuff on Facebook. It is not fun.
Yeah, I am weaning myself off of Facebook and moving over to Google Plus myself.
Now, when it was just a way to connect with long-lost friends and family, it was a nice little system. But now it's almost too commercialized.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends that I, you know, wound up, you know, making contact with through the Facebook. But
that's true. I might just switch with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, at least. And you know, I don't know what will happen with that, whether Google will go the way of Facebook. But there's so much... So many ads on Facebook. I can't. I don't even want to know about it anymore.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd give you guys my idea on what I feel about it.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, and I have to, while you're doing that, I have to read this news item because it'll make Raven even angrier. They've been a long time coming. But Facebook's new video ads are finally here. Confirming an early report from the Wall Street Journal that said they'd launch this week, Facebook said it will test promoted videos on a number of users' news feeds, kicking off with mini trailers for the new film Divergent. Leaning on a model utilized by Instagram, Facebook's video ads will automatically play when they appear on screen. Although sound will be muted on both the desktop and mobile unless you deliberately click on the video. Facebook has also worked around the question of load times and mobile data caps, choosing to cache the videos on your device ahead of time while you're connected via Wi-Fi, even if they don't play until later. While you won't be able to prevent the new ad units from popping up, they can be avoided with some quick scrolling, just like you did with Facebook's other sponsored content. So how do you feel about autoplay video in Facebook? Naturally, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And I'll tell you, for me at least, the single most horrifying, painful, disgusting, rotten thing on the internet is the drive-by audios, a video, stuff that plays automatically when you go to a page. Yeah. And now Facebook's going to be doing right in the middle of your news.
Especially if it's two tabs ago and you can't find which tab it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the ads are getting ridiculous. You know, and constantly you open something up and boom, there's more ads.
Well, and it's that catch-22. We love the free and open web, but someone's got to pay for it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree with that.
And every time we come up with an ad blocking system, the advertisers figure out a change. Mm-hmm. So we had pop-up blockers, now we get pop-unders.
Right, exactly. All right, to the phones. Don from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Don. What's up?
Well, I have not been good at following your advice about backing up, but about a week ago, I finally did back up a lot of my data. And when I went to go to one of my Excel files, I discovered that it wasn't there. Thank goodness I took a look at the backup, yep. And it was there. But it, why would just one file disappear?
Bad luck.
Okay. Yeah, really. Yeah,
so a backup isn't just for in case your computer dies completely. It's in case of a file gets lost accidentally. You may have accidentally deleted it when you're trying to delete one near it. Or you made a radical change to it and decided you don't like that anymore.
Or it was open when your system crashed or you shut it off.
I had it was a file that I had accessed since last August.
Then I don't.
I backed it up just a week ago.
Yeah. And so it was there a week ago and not here now.
Yeah.
Honestly, Don, I wish I had an answer for you. I do not.
I would try
the
doing
mysteries of operating systems.
Yeah, really.
I would try doing a directory scan. Right click on my computer or on your hard drive and choose tools. We see that a lot in the Mac world. Where the directory is a file that keeps track of where all your other files are.
Mm-hmm.
And if the directory gets messed up, it can't find your file. So the file may be there on the hard drive. The directory just doesn't know where it is. So when you open a window, it looks in the directory to display the contents of the folder. It doesn't necessarily look on the actual data.
Right. And what's nice about Windows is it does have, every operating system has two versions of the directory. One that it uses and one that it keeps as backup. So if they get out of sync, that's what directory scan does, is fixes that.
Yeah.
Well, how do I do this directory scan?
You open my computer, you right-click on your hard drive, and choose Tools.
Oh.
And one of the tools, it's what do they call it, repair disk? Because one of them is defrag, and one of them is repair.
Okay.
On the Mac, it's FSCK, and you do that in Disk Utility.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, but this is a good example of why I want you to be backing up. I backed it up to another drive.
Well, and the good news is you did back it up.
Well, I've not been good about it. Just by chance, I did it a week ago.
And now you'll be much better at it.
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. For the second week in a row, we have a contest going on. Our good friends at Frag Repairs, one of our favorite sponsors, is giving a certificate away for a PC cleanup. They are located 1472 Monroe Avenue. The certificate is valid for 6 months. So anytime in the next 6 months, you can bring your computer in for one PC cleanup. And the way you get this certificate is ridiculously simple. Give us a call. What's going to happen is this. Dave is going to clear out all the lines. Apologize to those of you who've been waiting to talk to us. Call back after the contest. Give us a call, and the number, I probably don't have to read the toll-free number because nobody's going to drive their computer to Rochester for this, but it's 585-966-5299. Dave will start picking up the phone and telling you what number you are. Number 10 will be the winner. So, start calling now. 5299 And when Dave does get a winner, we will take that information here. Steve will write it all down, and then we will announce that we have a winner. And if you want to also ask a question, well, then just let Steve know that you want to do that, and that'll be fine. In the meantime, we'll talk about today's Google Doodle.
It's 100 years of crosswords, celebrating the inventor of the crossword puzzle. Which, of course, isn't listed on the Google page. I have to search for inventor of crossword puzzle.
I meant to bring it in, and I apologize. I have sticking on my wall a reproduction of the first ever crossword puzzle. And
Arthur Wayne.
Yeah.
Wynne? W-Y-N-N-E.
W-Y-N-N-E, yeah. Somewhere you can probably see it. It's a triangular thing, and there are no blank. Well, there's a blank space in the center, as I remember. But I've had this thing hanging on my wall for years, and this is the 100th anniversary of the crossword puzzle. I do crossword puzzles all the time. I've done them for generations, I think. And love to do crossword puzzles.
My wife, Laura, used to love doing the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Sunday's the worst.
Sunday's the worst. On Monday, it's an easy puzzle.
Yeah.
Tuesday's a little harder. And by the time you get to Sunday, you spend most of your time swearing at them when you figure out the joke or the pun in the clue.
She used to do it in ink.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like her and I. Well, that's why I get into the words with friends.
Yeah.
Because her and I used to love playing Scrabble.
Yep.
Oh, and go back and forth on that all the time.
There's also a movie. There's a movie about crossword puzzle enthusiasts called Wordplay. Okay, sure, no, it's up on Netflix, and it follows a bunch of people at the International Crossword Puzzle Festival thing, whatever it is, and also talks to a bunch of well-known crossword puzzle people like Jon Stewart and all like that. It's a really very cool. It's a very cool thing. And they're also saying now that for those of us who are getting up in age, doing crossword puzzles can help stave off dementia or Alzheimer's, I guess, by keeping your brain moving. And you can get them almost everywhere. I will tell you, I have an app called Shorty Crosswords. Shorty Crosswords, and it brings in dozens and dozens of crosswords into my phone or my Android tablet. and so I'm never without a crossword puzzle. So it's pretty nice. Most of them are pretty good. And it works very much the way today's crossword doodle does, except it tells you what the answer is.
Oh.
And when you're done, it tells you if you're right or if you've got to fix some stuff or whatever.
One of the things about how if you do it in pen or pencil...
Yeah.
So one of the tricks is you get yesterday's answers, and you sit down with yesterday's paper and a pen. You fill it out in 2 seconds, throw it down. Damn, that was too easy.
Yeah.
Good one, though.
But it's actually easier now than it used to be because of frankly, Google.
Yep.
Because you can look up answers. You can. I've got a book of crossword puzzles. Many of them are great, but every once in a while they clearly got stuck for an answer. So it'll be like Woodrow Wilson's fifth cousin's middle name. Well, I don't the heck know what that is.
Why not?
Oddly, I should.
Yes,
but I don't.
Evidently you're slacking off.
But I can swipe Google now and say, okay, Google, what was Woodrow Wilson's second cousin's middle name? And it will tell me. But that, you know, I think of that as cheating. But
yeah.
When they're cheating that way,
yeah.
I can cheat the other way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry, what's up?
Oh, I just got a crossword puzzle comment.
Yeah.
I think Friday and Saturday are harder than Sunday.
Do you?
Smaller, but harder.
Yeah, you know what? They are, well, yes, Friday and Saturday are both hard, but they are smaller. Sundays is equally hard, but also larger.
Yeah. A lot bigger.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Degree of difficulty per clue or whatever, I think Will Short says it's between Thursday and Friday.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of the Sundays are like a Thursday puzzle, just big.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And Will Short, for those of you who don't know, is the guy who's been the editor of the New York Times crossword for possibly ever.
About 15 years, yeah. I think.
Didn't he invent it?
No. It's no,
we got Eugene Maleska and Will Wang and...
Some of the great names.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they call the app I've got Shorty's Crosswords, is it's a play on Will Short's.
Yeah.
He's very good. He's a great editor.
Yeah, he really is. He knows what he's doing. He's fair.
Yeah.
Every clue, he's rejected stuff because it didn't work. He's in the movie that I was talking about, Wordplay. Talking about editing crosswords. It's very cool. It's a very cool movie. It's on Netflix, so those of you with Netflix should check it out. Called Wordplay. Very cool movie. And yeah, I'll tell you, I love doing crossword puzzles.
Well, if you haven't run across Brendan McQuigley, I think his name is. He's interesting.
Brendan, what's his last name?
Quigley, I think.
That's an awful familiar name. I don't know that I've run across him, but that's an awful
familiar
name.
He's done a couple of New York Times. He's done some very good puzzles.
Yeah. There's a couple of people in Rochester who do puzzles for the New York Times. And they're Very good. They're very good. Sadly, people who do crossword puzzles don't have the cachet, shall we call it, that you know other types of writers or whatever do. But
it is BrendanEmmettQuigley.com.
Oh, I'll look him up. Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that, Larry.
You're welcome. Have a great time and have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Have a great Christmas. Have a great New Year. I have to say that we see a lot of people who are crossword puzzle aficionados. My sister-in-law and her husband are also big crossword puzzle people. They do it in ink, but sometimes they erase. You shouldn't be able to do it in erasable ink.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's a very cool pastime. There's lots and lots of books of them out. The one I've got now, I really like, except clearly when they get into a bind and they start pulling out words, and I'm like, yeah, who are you kidding? But generally speaking, they're pretty good. And you learn a lot of words, and you keep up your vocabulary, and it probably is good for you mentally.
Yeah, yeah, you know, keeps you thinking. And
to keep you sharp.
Looking at other words and that type of, like, that's what I like about word search.
Yep.
You know, and our words for friends, the Scrabble type of game, because
mm-hmm.
you got to sit there and with there's the a, letters
there's
you
a
got.
There's a Boggle type game that I play a lot called Word. Oh, I can't think of it. I'll look it on the phone. But it's a Boggle type game where you get a grid of letters and you have to figure out what words
it
makes
yeah.
on those. Mm. And I can't think of the name off the top of my head, so I'm quietly marking time while I go find it. It's called Words Up with an exclamation point. And luckily that got us right through to the music. So we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. Don't forget to give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Here on the Christmas edition of Soundbites. We'll be back. You've wasted a whole hour of your life with this nonsense, but for those of you who don't learn quickly, you get to do it again because we've got a whole nother hour of this coming on the other side of the interesting and fun stuff we're about to do now. So hang on. We'll be back. A whole lot more of Soundbites on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you are listening to the Christmas version of Sound Bites. Ho! Oh, Merry Christmas.
Hopefully everybody got their Christmas shopping done.
You have a couple of days left. I still
should,
have a
Should sale. I have started yet?
Yeah. It is officially okay because the date starts with a 2.
I refuse to go to the malls. In fact, I had to drive by 2 malls to get here today. I hate even driving by the mall.
I have only stocking stuffers left to buy.
Got to have real big stockings, though.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what that is. I'm very much looking forward to Christmas this year. The look on my wife's and daughter's faces.
Jackie and I were talking about it yesterday, and we're our own biggest customers at the store.
Oops.
Because we have technological families, and oh, I happen to work at a technology store.
Yes.
It's amazing how that follows.
Yeah. And it's always, I want that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the problem is, you know, if you never saw it, you could say, well, I don't really, you know, whatever. But now you've seen it. You've got to have it.
See, I have to test it for my job.
Yeah, that's it. For our next caller is Joanne from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you.
Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes. I just finished those stocking stuffers.
There you go.
Okay, what I'd like to know, I have an iPhone. How can I back up my telephone numbers and addresses that are in it?
Two ways. On the phone itself, you can go into the iCloud in settings and then iCloud and turn on iCloud backup. And then it backs up everything on your phone to Apple's iCloud servers.
Okay, now I don't do iCloud anymore, but it could be just a separate little account.
Yeah, you can turn off all the other iCloud syncing and just use it for iCloud backup.
Okay.
But that is a way to back up your contacts. Is you can back it up, sync it with iCloud, and then you can see it on the web, and you can also see them on your computer as well. So it will back it up to your computer through iCloud as well.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yep. And it's a good idea to have a backup just in case, just like you want to back up your computer, especially photos on your phone. That we run into a lot of people who've dropped their phone, the screen is broken, and Apple's repair policy is to replace the phone.
Right.
And so you don't get your own phone back, and so all of your photos on it are gone. So using iCloud photo stream, every time you take a picture on your phone, it uploads to iCloud. Same thing with Google. It uploads it to is Google Picasa or is it Google Plus? Or
Google
property does it upload to?
Yeah, it's all Google Plus.
Yeah, so on your Android phone, every time you take a picture, it will upload it to the internet. And that gives you a backup copy, and then you can download that on your computer to have another backup copy. So it's in addition to just backing up your computer, you want to back up your phone too. In fact, a lot of people don't have computers anymore. We're seeing people use iPads and tablets as their computer because all they want to do is email and web surfing.
Yep.
And that's
And I love that feature because I'm sure it's exactly the same on the iPhone.
Yep.
If I update a phone number and contacts on the web in Google Contacts, it shows up on my phone, vice versa. It shows up on my tablet. It's one source for all of those data.
Yep.
So you don't have to remember to maintain it in multiple places. And it's always backed up.
Right. The one limitation with iCloud is you only get 5 gigabytes of storage for free. And that's more than enough for your contacts and your calendars and things. But if you have lots and lots of pictures, then you want to make sure you turn on photo streaming. But that only lets you back up 1,000 photos.
Right.
So if you take more photos than that before you sync it to your computer, then you want to make sure on your computer you turn on photo stream or you back up your phone to your computer as well. And that's the other way to back up an iOS device is plug it into your computer and iTunes will back it up to the computer.
Yeah.
But then that becomes an invisible file. That eats up your disk space. So if you have like a 128 gig iPad that's full, it's going to be 128 gigs of backup on your computer.
Right, right. One of the things that, speaking of photos and backing them up, one of the things that I discovered, and I really like the idea of, if you create an event in Google, usually Google Plus, Google Plus, and invite people to it, and they say yes, any pictures they take at the event are automatically uploaded to the event page.
Nice.
So it's kind of an automatic, and I don't know if that works on iPhones in any way at all, but I know it works on Android phones. And so I've been to several events where pictures just suddenly started appearing on the event page.
Yep.
And we realized that's what was going on, and it's a nice way to automatically show what happened at the event. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it probably does in the G Plus app.
I suppose it. I don't know. I assume it does. Our next caller is Mike from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
Hey, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Love the show. And I got a question. My daughter's. I got this laptop, and it's old. It's an Inspiron B130, trying to run XP, and it had a. The computer guy in Geneseo fix it and get it running, and then it stopped working for her. And I'm looking at it last night trying to troubleshoot it. And when I open up Task Manager to see all the processes running, it's showing that 100% CPU usage, and the number that keeps going up to like 99 when I look at the list says service host, SBC host.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Do you know? Should I throw the thing out? I want to.
Well, here's the thing. Sadly, SVC host simply means something's using the internet. There are
Without even having a browser open of any kind?
Well, if you don't have anything open, one of two things is going on. It's trying to update, or you've got a virus.
Windows update, or Adobe updates, or Flash updates, you know, things that try to update in the background will also use the internet, even if you don't
that's
have a browser open.
That's what's going on, because Adobe keeps wanting to, you know, come up, and updates ready for your computer, and, and when I was trying to delete things that, you know, she hasn't been using in, and remove programs, I'm getting, like, Install Shield come up and say, you know, something's trying to install in the background when I'm trying to delete stuff.
Does it say what that program is?
No. That's what I'm trying to figure out. There's something running in the background all the time.
It's like a TSR.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So last night I managed to get rid of Google Chrome and Internet Explorer, and I got Firefox loaded, and I downloaded Avast, and I had to go to bed while it was doing its scan, so I'm going to try and turn it back on and then do like a boot time scan maybe and try and debug it that way first.
You may want to do a full security dango dance. If there's nothing on the machine you want to keep, erase it and reinstall from scratch.
Yeah. You should be aware, however, that mainstream support ended for Windows XP on April 14th of 2009.
Right. It's so easy to use. I still have it on my machine, and my daughter, I got one for her, but she's got Windows 8. She loves it, but I haven't, you know, I'm still...
Well, you
have five kids. You can't buy everybody Windows 8.
No, I get that, but the reality is that you're kind of done.
Yeah.
And so...
April 8th, 2014, they're going to stop releasing security updates.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So right now, you can still get security updates, but that's it. And in terms of programs that will work on XP, developers have stopped writing for that. So
well,
you're
then I look at, you know, online, you can find this same laptop for $170 in some of these sites that are, you know, still got like Windows 7 on them or something. You can buy machines, and I just keep thinking I just should do that.
Well, you also have to be careful about things that are too cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking a Chromebook or a tablet, especially for younger kids that don't need a full computer.
Well, that's the thing. They don't know what they're doing, and then they hit a web page. Next thing you know, they got tons of spyware and malware on there, and.
And in general, those don't affect the Chrome OS or the iOS.
There are no, at least so far, there are no Chrome viruses at all. iOS, there are a few, but they're not a lot of them.
What's this? I got a SweetPax thing that I swear I got through Google Chrome, and I got rid of it on my XP because I just...
I'm not talking about getting it through Chrome. I'm saying a Chromebook, which does not run Windows.
Yeah, there's the Chrome browser to look at web pages and the Chrome OS that you run on a computer.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
A Chromebook runs Chrome OS.
Yeah, not Windows.
And so there are no viruses that affect the Chrome OS yet.
Yet.
Right.
Well, every time we say that, you know, someone would have written one by now if they could.
They're
going after the majority, and right now that's a minority.
That's Windows. And we're actually seeing viruses in general have sort of been dying down because it's becoming more malicious software designed to steal your credit card number to get your identity. Mm-hmm. So it's a website that pops up and says, "Ooh, you're infected. You better buy my fake program."
Right.
It's not a virus trying to do something on your computer.
Right. I got one of those the other day on the Chromebook, and I thought, man, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I get them. The support staff at Jesse Group wants to let you know there's a problem in your account. Yeah. No, I didn't.
It's got like the DDR2 RAM, and I think I got like 2 gig of RAM on it. I mean, I don't think it's a bad, you know, system still. I mean, it's still got enough power for what she uses it for. So I just think maybe buy like the Chrome OS. Could you put it on that old of a machine? Does it need more than
No, no, no. You only need 2 gigs of RAM to load Chrome OS. But you could just load Linux on that machine as well. The reality is that Windows XP is done. It's simply done. And what we're finding is that sites are taking away some of the tools that they've had out there for
XP. Which is stupid. Also takes this disk space,
I know,
and that's
cheap. I understand that, but they're doing it. And so there will come a point where no one can help you with XP anymore.
Right. Well, and I downloaded like the Ubuntu onto like a flash drive, and I could, flash drive scan or boot it from my flash drive. You know, and I tried it out one time, but it's like then you got to download every other program again and run a whole on the side. You know, to do that. But I'm thinking that might be the way to go because that's at least updated and supported currently, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's Linux is Ubuntu, right?
Yep, exactly right. Ubuntu is one of the best known versions of Linux, and very well supported.
Linux, like, can you get Linux by itself also, or do you got to get one or the other? Or are they one
no,
of
no,
the
no.
Same?
Linux, Ubuntu is a form of Linux is the operating system, like Windows XP is the operating system.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there are but because it's free and open source, there are a number of companies who package it. Ubuntu, Red Hat, there's a company that puts out something called Puppy Linux, Damn Small Linux. There's 50 of them out there. The Ubuntu version or flavor, I guess, of the Linux operating system is the most well known at this moment and extremely well supported.
Actually, I should do that. Then I should F disk it and start over and do that, huh?
Yeah, if this thing has a CD, you can download Ubuntu, the latest version, to a CD, burn it, boot with it, and it'll install it. It'll do all the wiping and everything else for you. If you'd rather do it from a flash drive, you can do it that way.
I don't even think she has. The problem is it goes so slow you can't even get on to do anything because something's running in the background using up all that CPU. So
try it try booting in safe mode with network. And then you can download the stuff you need, and theoretically,
if the network runs, that stuff's running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you can do. Does this laptop have a CD?
Yep.
On another machine that you know is clean, download Ubuntu, burn it to a CD.
Yeah.
Reboot the machine, pop the CD in, reboot to the CD.
Let it do its thing.
Let it do its thing, and boom, you've got a clean machine. Your daughter will have to learn Ubuntu, but the good news is she's smart enough to have learned XP. She's smart enough to learn Ubuntu.
Oh, yeah. I think they all liked Ubuntu anyways when they saw me because of the flashy colors and stuff anyway. So.
Yeah, so go play.
Yeah, win-win. All right, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Thanks. Have fun. And I look forward to your letters, but there are a lot of versions. Red Hat is a great version. There's just a million great versions out there. Linux Mint is a great version. But Ubuntu is extremely well-known, extremely well-supported, and there's a lot of that out there for it, and that's the one he already knew. So it's good all the way around. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. On member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And we have Al from Greece on the line. Welcome, Al. What's up?
Oh, nothing. What's up with you guys?
Nothing. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
I just called with a few questions on my mind. You see, I'm thinking of buying a laptop for my mother's 60th birthday coming up in January. You see, she's been doing so much for me ever since my father passed away in 2006, and I want to repay her back so much, but I don't know which one to get, though.
Yeah.
I thought I'd come to you guys because I know you guys have more experience than I do in, like, 50 years.
Well, what is it that she intends? And that's beautiful, by the way. You're a good son. What stuff does she do on the web?
She mostly conducts business because she works with the YMCA, and she also works at home as well. She's part of a account business. I don't know completely, though. She hasn't specified for me, so I'm trying to look for some sort of a laptop that will work well with accounting.
The most common accounting program is QuickBooks, but it may not be that one.
No, I'm talking about like a good laptop that I'm talking about a laptop that performs well, not like a program. I know the program. Oh. I just don't know what kind of laptop to get her though.
Any of them?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now, are you looking at Windows or a Mac?
Windows, definitely.
All right. Okay.
Then I would suggest you definitely want to look for one that has its own dedicated video card.
Or it may call it discrete video.
Yeah, because if you're doing shared memory, so say you get a system, it's got 8 gig on it.
Which at least 4 gig, 8 gig of RAM, probably an i5 processor.
Yeah, I'd say 8 gig only because memory is so cheap, and Windows operating system will utilize everything you do. But again, if you get a dedicated video card within the system, it's not taking part of that memory of the 8 gig to cache out and do video. It's got its own on its motherboard for the video, and it's totally separate. That makes it fast. You know, at least a 1 terabyte hard drive, DVD burner, and you got to decide whether you want to do 17 or a 15 inch screen. Since she's an elderly lady, me being a little bit older too, I would certainly recommend a 17 inch monitor.
The trade off there is that it's going to be a heavier computer with the bigger screen.
Right. And so you guys are saying something that's in the small screens, not the big screens, you're saying.
I like bigger.
The 15 is kind of in there. It's bigger screen than the 13 and lighter than the 17.
Okay.
Right. But really, from my point of view, there's the two important things are the quality of the screen and the quality of the keyboard. So sure. You should go look at them and play with them. So because she's going to be staring at and tapping on that thing for years. So true. Make sure those look good. In terms of the rest of it, a lot of RAM is good because things happen faster. We were talking earlier about swap space. The more RAM you have, the less swap space you use, so things all happen faster. Disk space, if she's doing a lot of things with QuickBooks or whatever, she's going to want a lot of disk space. So a decent-sized hard drive is good. Think also about how she's going to back that up. So that's a second external drive.
Uh-huh.
But the good news is, from a lot of the manufacturers like Dell or whatever these days, you can get most of that stuff in a not terribly expensive package.
Or an expensive. I just worked out a Dell 18-inch for $2,700 with an i7, 8 gigs of RAM, and a 1.5-terabyte hard drive.
Nice.
No.
That's not bad.
For $2,700. Mm. And that's the discount. It's normally $2,850.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But what about virus protection for that as well? I'm not sure which one would work best. When I previously had McAfee, it kept saying that I didn't have anything after I ran a full scan like every other day, and I ended up catching one anyway.
Yeah. I like Avast.
Avast and AVG are two mm-hmm. of my favorites.
And one of the problems is that the virus writers know about McAfee and Symantec and the big virus companies, and they won't release a virus until it can get past them. So we're almost afraid that once Avast and AVG get popular enough, the virus writers will start doing that too.
Yeah, but like you said, though, viruses are becoming less prevalent out there.
It's more scareware.
Spyware and
spyware.
You know, Trojans.
Fake windows that pop up on your screen saying there's a problem.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have one.
Oh, yeah. No.
And so one like Avast or AVG, particularly if it's a free one,
I'm not discrediting them at all. It's just that when it comes to trouble, if you review all the calls that we're getting, more and more of them is spyware, rootkits, and that type of stuff.
Yep.
Right, because sometimes I know that the free ones sometimes are at greater risk of developing a virus than the ones you pay for.
Right.
And not every antivirus program is going to catch every virus either. That's part of the problem.
That's just the name of the game. The
But one thing you should do, the first thing you should do when you get this machine is install Revo Uninstaller on it.
Yes.
The second thing you should do is go look at the Security Tango at securitytango.com and look at the antivirus and anti-malware programs that are there and load those onto that machine.
Okay.
So that she's got a full protection suite.
Oh, that's smart.
Before you do anything else.
Okay, I can do that.
There you go.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Al, good luck.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
I just maxed out a Dell for $5,500, 32 gigs of RAM and a 1 terabyte SSD.
How much?
$5,500.
Not bad.
$300 discount.
All righty,
the
then.
Yeah. But there's one thing that's confusing here. It says it's a 1 terabyte drive with a 768 gig RAID 0 partition. Well, what's it rated with? RAID means two drives minimum.
Well, in the RAID 0, though. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ray from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's up?
I was just listening to that call about the gentleman that called in about the SDC host issue.
Yeah.
And I had the exact same issue on two machines here at my house. And all I can determine is it seemed like I had an indicator saying I had some kind of a Windows or kind of an update that wouldn't come in, and then finally it would. And then that problem seemed to go away. So I just thought I'd toss that out.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with Windows is that SVC is the generic name that's used for every... What happens is everything that goes out to the web goes through SVC host. And right. That's the program that comes up as being used. So you can see 40 of those on your machine. One of them is an update.
But this one here would use all the CPU, then I would cancel it out of Task Manager. Everything would be fine, and then I'd still see a Windows update, and I'd go through the same thing again. So chances are that's what that other person might, you know, have that issue.
And a stuck update is a common problem on Windows.
Yeah, right. It really is. And so, you know, but at this point, my point there was I don't see any reason to be spending a lot of time on an XP machine because you're just going to have another problem in a week that isn't going to go away because there's no longer a fix for it.
Correct.
But yeah, you're right. It I hate SVC host. I hate it with a passion because it doesn't tell you anything about what's actually going on.
If you could at least see what process is calling SVC host, that would be nice.
Right. And the problem with that, of course, is that viruses call SVC host.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't know what's going on.
No, you don't have a clue.
Okay, well, listen, everyone, you have a Merry Christmas and...
You too.
Listen every week and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ray. Have a great Christmas. Have a great New Year. Although we'll be on next week, so we can wish you that then. Coming down to the end of the year, but the days are getting longer. Happy winter solstice. Blessed be to those of you who celebrate the solstice. It's today.
It's today, yeah.
It happened this morning at what time?
1711 UTC. So... 11 afternoon.
11,
yeah, 12, 11 here.
Yep.
And
which means the days are now getting longer.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's up?
Hi, guys. Just a follow-up call from my call last week about the speakers. That couldn't get to work.
Yep.
Sometimes people just know too God bless it much.
What happened?
And they get way too confused, way too technical, way too fast. But I can't imagine who that might be.
Now, me either. Can't figure it out.
Well, because I went in and I said, oh, geez, I tried what you said, and I was repairing this, da, da, da. And I said, oh, gee, why don't I try to troubleshoot?
Oh, there's an idea.
And, you know, within 10 seconds, it came out, oh, you have a problem with your Bluetooth speaker? Fix it? Yes. Bing. Speaker comes on. Oh, you got a problem with your headset speakers? Yeah. Fix it. Bing. The headset came on. I was done in under 30 seconds.
Don't you love the easy ones?
Just by trying to troubleshoot in the driver?
Yeah, under Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll fix it. Sure. Bang. Nothing to it.
There you go.
Then now you know who to call first.
There you go.
And Nick, just for your information, according to my Langenschmidt in Latin English Dictionary, it is four I.
I think it is. I agree with you.
Yeah, well, it says so in the little Latin English. It must be.
Well, that's it, then.
we're golden.
Listen, if you don't know, who knows?
That's right, exactly.
These days in particular.
Have a good time, guys.
Thanks, Merry Brian. Christmas. Have fun.
Bye.
Well, there aren't a lot of Latin scholars left, but... you can take Brian's word for it.
I got to say, we messed up our perihelion and aphelion discussion earlier. We're not the closest point in the orbit. We're the southernmost position of the sun in the southern hemisphere and the northernmost position of the sun in the northern hemisphere. Perihelion is actually January 2nd, 2013, and aphelion was July 5th, 2013.
Ah.
And there's a 3 million mile difference between them.
Wow. All right, our next caller is Lynn from Clymer, New York. Welcome, Lynn. What's up?
Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
And all to you the same.
Thank you. I called a few weeks ago, and I was looking for information on a remote control to use with my Dell computer. I found one, a Deso MCE. In the features, there's one item that I don't understand, and I thought probably you would guys could clear it up for me. Under features, 46 multimedia keys and 3 mouse cursor keys as a feature. I don't understand what they're talking about.
You can push a button and start playing music. Push another button and go to the next song. Push another button and pause video.
Is it something I need to set up?
It's probably preset for Windows Media Player, possibly even iTunes. But you can program those buttons to do other things as well.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't see 46 buttons.
Deso, they're... anyway, the information page.
Oh, there's probably a shift.
Yeah,
so there's
shift
12 buttons. There's a shift that gives you 12 more.
Control.
And control gives you 12 more. Shift and control gives you...
Or alt.
It's a remote control, not a keyboard.
Oh.
And then it's got a circular disc is your cursor control. So it'll control the cursor like it was a mouse. And there's probably buttons that the 3 cursor keys are probably buttons that will jump your cursor to a specific spot. Like go to the start menu or go to the My Computer button.
Oh, that would be super. Now I got to figure, this would all be in the Windows Media Player then, right? Is where it's actually
for the media control, probably.
And if there's something to set up, I'd have to do it there, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
It usually just mimics the keys that are already built in. So, like, you go to the media player and hit the space key, and it starts playing.
Yeah.
And then
the basic functions seem to be working fine, but there's this extra features that I just don't understand that.
There's
well,
4 colored buttons up at the top.
They're what you're talking about, but their server will not bring up the page for the information on that. I don't know whether it's just such an old product that they're using that space for something else now in the server or what. But I was thinking maybe somewhere at Microsoft I might be able to find some information on how, because I'm guessing there's a general specification how they have to set them up to work with Windows.
Yeah.
Media player.
Yeah, it just sends an infrared control that gets translated into whatever the button Windows Media Player is already expecting to use.
The good news is, play around with it. Because
yeah,
unless you're typing with a hammer, you can't break anything.
No, it does everything I want, but it looks like it can probably do a lot more. Maybe if I get into Microsoft, into their system there, maybe I can find some information that tells me how I can do it, because I just can't blow things up big enough so I can see them. I have to, before I can do some of the things, I have to get up and go to the monitor and get my nose almost on it, and then I can see
them. That's a Windows feature to zoom the screen or to lower the resolution so the image gets bigger.
Yeah, well... if I get it so it's working the way I want it, I think I'm going to put it all so it'll feed over to a flat screen television. And that
perfect.
May help or may not.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Lynn.
Don't be careful of those rum balls.
You got it. I have only had the one so
thank
far.
Thank you, and bye.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. I will not have another rumble. But you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have a contest. This is very exciting. One of our truly magnificent underwriters, Frag Repairs, is offering a certificate good for one PC cleanup. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue. Certificates are valid for 6 months. So anytime in the next 6 months, you can bring in your computer for one PC cleanup. So all you have to do to win it is to give us a call when I say go. And when I say go, you call 585. I guess it's only the local number. Nobody's going to drag their machine from Climber or wherever it is. So it's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. We will take the 10th caller. So Dave will just pick up the phone and announce a number. When he gets to 10, that person will be the winner. So are you ready? 585-966-5299. Go! And we'll wait while Dave gets the phone numbers and people start calling in and hang up. And we want to thank our friends at Frag Repairs. They've been very very nice to us, and they're a good sponsor and have offered this PC cleanup. It's kind of great. It's a great thing to do. You know you should clean up your machine regularly. So many people don't, frankly, clean up their machines. It's a terrible thing, and we'd like to have you do that. It should be pretty good.
Congratulations.
It makes your machine run a little faster. We have a winner. You may stop calling now. We have a winner, so that's great. While we're doing that, I want to talk to... Apparently it's Jerry. He's talking on the phone right now. I want to say on the Google Plus Hangout, the thing died in some odd way, and now it seems to be... back up and running, I think, so... Who knows? But that's the way it is. So at any rate, I definitely want to say that it's great that our friends at Frag Repairs has made this little gesture. It's a great thing to do. You should clean your machine regularly. Most of us don't, and many of us don't know how.
Yes, true. And a lot of folks keep saying, and we hear it all the time. Well, I meant to. And,
yeah, right.
I meant to do a lot of things, but you know what? That ain't going to get it done.
Yeah.
And especially right now, with more, like we were talking about, the pop unders and the pop overs. I mean, you can't go to one web page right now, especially using Foxfire or any of the other browsers, and you're getting something, popping up on you and, things going bad on you. So it's getting very annoying.
And it's preventive maintenance. There comes a point at which, your car grinds to a halt at the side of the road, and you say, "Well, I meant to change the oil." You know what? Nobody cares. The same thing with your computer. Well, I meant to clean it up. Yeah, nobody cares at that point. The universe is not going to give you a Menta.
That blinking light doesn't mean anything, does it?
No. Mine certainly doesn't.
It's been blinking for 4 years. It must not mean anything.
I don't play the lottery, so I just let my lights blink on my car. It's an entirely different form of gambling. Back to the phones. Oh, we want to thank today's winners are Roy and
Jerry.
It was Jerry.
Yeah.
At the phone.
Isn't that cool?
I was making a joke because while you were writing it down, he was talking on the phone, and when you said turn something down, he was doing this, and I'm thinking that's really funny. Apparently, the joke's on me. Good for you, Jerry.
One of our folks in the hangout. Just so you folks that don't know what's going on,
that's funny.
You can't see that. We do the hangout where folks can actually see what's going on here in the studio. If you really want to get scared,
yeah, we're all over the place. We're on.
Ustream,
that's what it's called. And so you can see us there. We do a Google Hangout with up to 10 people can be in the thing, but you can see it on YouTube anytime you want at our YouTube thing. And it's just And there's just, we're on the stream, we're live here on the air.
We're all over the place.
Archive, it's everywhere.
And last week's show is now up. We got the FTP problem solved.
The FTP problem.
So hopefully this week's show will be able to go up later.
God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Exactly. Our next caller, Joe from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's up?
Got a couple of questions here, if you don't mind.
Nope.
The first one is, I bought a new Dell computer, and you guys helped me out getting the Libre. It worked fine.
Great.
The only problem is when I type a letter, I can't turn the spelling on, even if I hit F7 or under Tools. Is there anything I am doing wrong?
Most of the word processors these days have spell check always on, and you get a little red underline if something is spelled wrong.
Well, what? It doesn't, and I hit the Tools, and it says spelling, and it goes through, but it doesn't correct anything.
What word processing program do you use?
Libre, the one you recommended a couple weeks ago.
Oh, LibreOffice. Okay. All right. And you're on Windows.
I wonder if you have to load.
Yeah, well, I got 8.1.
Languages? There may be a preference somewhere where you tell it what language you're using.
Okay, I could try that.
Because it has to know what language to spell check in.
It also has to know what dictionary you use. We have a... You have to actually install... a spell check dictionary, and we have a thing that'll be, if you go to the language support menu, that lets you add languages. Make sure you have American English.
Okay.
And which
selected.
Which OS are you running? Are you running Windows?
Yes, Windows 8.1.
Oh, Windows. All right. What we'll do is...
Yeah, because all of our hits are finding Linux.
Yeah, but what we'll do is... We'll put up a link to that. That'll be a lot easier.
Okay.
To do it that way. And what was your other question?
You have a freebie for PFI files. I can't run the PFI files from my old XP onto this one. I got all my files on a flash drive, and the PDF won't come up.
PDF or PFI?
PDF.
Oh, PDFs. Sure, there are Foxit. Is the free PDF reader.
How do you spell that?
F-O-X-I-T, Foxit.
Okay.
And Adobe also has one, and the free Adobe reader. I have seen sometimes whoever creates the PDF, if they're using Adobe Acrobat Pro, the full commercial program, they can include features that will only open in the Adobe reader.
Right.
Which is annoying.
My other question is this. On my old XP, I had Kodak EasyShare.
Yeah.
And I got got thousands of pictures. When I go to put it on this unit, I can see the pictures, but I can't get the videos. The videos, I can see the blank screen, the voice comes on, and the screen plays, but I can't see the video.
Yeah. It's probably the codec. It's what kind of video it was recorded as. Like if it's an MPEG-4 or an AVI, you need to have the plug-in for your media player to be able to play that video format.
Okay.
So you may have to check the camera to see what format it's recording.
Well, it accepts the camera as an addition to the thing. And it downloads fine. But when I go to play the video, that's the only portion that doesn't. I tried to download EasyShare into my computer, but the WebRoot says there's a malware in there, and it won't allow it in there.
I think Kodak has discontinued EasyShare too.
Yeah, so you may
be getting it, but it's still available.
Yeah,
Picasso.
So check with the camera to see what format the video is being recorded in.
Okay.
If it's an AVI or a QuickTime
MOV.
MOV. So you need to install the QuickTime player.
Right. And Steve will put up a link, but it's apple.com/QuickTime/download.
Where can I find that?
apple.com/QuickTime/download.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Listen, I'm so pleased with you guys. I'd like to make a donation. Can you send me back the other... I can make a donation for this year.
You can do it online. The best way to do that is do it online.
I can do it online? Normal?
Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you go to jazz901.org.
And just put in a comment there that it's for sound bites.
Very good. Right. Thank you very much. God bless you. Hold on, Merry Christmas.
God bless you and Merry Christmas to you, too.
Bye.
If you go there, yep, go ahead. You can hang up, but I'll tell you right now, the way you do it is you go to the website and...
There's a button that says click to pledge.
Click and pledge. It says become to the upper right hand side of the page, and it says become a member of Jazz 90.1. Click and pledge or donate now. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. And if it's a one time donation, click donate now. And if it's and you can enter your donation amount. And they have multiple levels. And then when you get to the point where you're filling it out, down at the bottom, there's a comment section. Please say that it's for sound bites so that we get credit with the bosses. We don't get money or anything like that. Just that the boss says, oh, somebody's actually listening. So that's a nice thing.
Isn't that special?
Isn't that special? And, of course, that's a beautiful thing to do, particularly at this time of year, because this is the time of giving. And we love to see people do that. So thanks. I think we don't have time for much else, but I will say this. What do you got?
Just wish all our listeners that have been with us throughout the year and that, you know, a very happy and safe Christmas season or holiday season, I should say. That, you know, the roads are going to get a little messy out there today. So, you know, just drive carefully and... Yeah. Just be cautious, you know what I mean?
It snowed a week ago, and you could handle it. Don't forget, in this couple of days, we've had nice weather.
Exactly. So, yeah, we want to wish everyone, whatever holiday you celebrate, Christmas, the solstice, Kwanzaa, anything at all, we want to make a sentence out of that. And we want to thank you all very much for listening to this show. We will be here next week. Don't go away, however, because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week, and what's more festive than good German music? So stick around for the Christmas music, German music, and that's what he's playing today. Mike Oden will be keeping him on the straight and narrow, so you don't have to worry too much, unless you're actually in the studio. And we'll be back next week. So for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. It's 55 minutes after the hour. Sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.